Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of Hoopah. My name is Blair Beveridge, and thank you for once again tuning in. We've been promoting it all week, but this week's show, we once again have Ryan Day and Jeff Muller. Together, they make the Geek Fitness Podcast. Now, their social medias are already up and rolling. Their podcast, their first episode, might be already out before you guys hear this. And if this is out first, it literally will be an hour-by-hour, day-by-day kind of time until you get to hear it. On this podcast, Ryan and Jeff just do an absolutely outstanding job about giving us a taste of what we're going to be getting on this podcast. I literally cannot wait for this. These are two guys that I admire greatly. These are two guys that I just love listening to them speak, and I am jacked. I am hyped. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but I'm really excited about this podcast. So let's dive into it, shall we? Hoopod number 36 with Ryan Day and Jeff Muller.
Hello, 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 guys.
Welcome.
Going. Hey. So I have started my recording on Audacity before I started the call. So I'm recording, I guess, just myself right now, probably. Is that what you wanted?
That's perfect.
All right, then. I guess we're all set. Well, on my end, at least.
As soon as this Muller guy comes in.
What? What?
The long Skype vigil finally comes to an end. The 24-hour Skype vigil.
Okay, you got to explain this, Ryan. You can't just cold us on that one.
I apparently think Tuesday is Wednesday, and so I was here sitting 8 o'clock, dutifully, I might add, waiting for a Skype invite that never came.
Well, then, you were just living on Australian time, so that's it's fine.
And so finally, it came to fruition, I suppose. I gave up about an hour after that, though.
Aw, you quitter.
Stood up.
I'm a quitter. We can talk about that today in terms of meeting your goals. Just never quit like Ryan. You can give make me an example.
Never quit like Ryan unless
give
it's been an hour.
One solid hour to whatever endeavor and then just give up.
Under an hour, man. Under an hour, you got to stand. You got to stand tall and proud. But after an hour, fuck it. That's the moral of this story.
Welcome, everybody, to the next episode of Hoopod. As you may have gathered, we got some former guests on here.
Is this the thing?
We're doing the thing?
We're live. We're doing the thing.
Oh, my goodness. It.
Live, though. We're live now, but not then. Not in the future. We're not live.
And we're in the past, if you're Tyrellin. So
yeah, it's true. So, how's the future?
No, I'm in the future.
Are things any better for now?
Are we
not
dead
here
yet?
Oh, my God. We had 47 degree heat waves, which, Joey, what did you work that out to be in Fahrenheit?
116 for 40 degrees Celsius.
A lot of Fahrenheit.
Yeah, so we got 47 degrees Celsius heat wave. So everything's melted. We are now liquid, but, you know, we still have the technology to do podcasts. So, you know, I feel that's progress. We're doing okay.
That's good. You got hardened stuff that's rated to land on the planet Venus to record your podcasts. So...
Exactly. We're good to go.
speaking of planets, what do you think of today's news?
I don't care.
Yes.
Be prank. I gotta be blunt.
You don't care.
No.
Human evolution. No. Just
and I love me some science. All right. I absolutely adore science. I adore scientists. But man, we can't even take care of one fucking planet, let alone seven more. You know, like this is like seven more planets to make great again. Like. We're going to build walls outside the solar system to keep the potential aliens out, I think. We have to protect American jobs from illegal aliens, you know?
We're going to make Jupiter pay for it.
Wasn't exactly. That a South Park episode at one point?
I don't know, man. I don't watch too much South Park, but I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, welcome to the next episode of Hoopod. Where this week we have two former guests, Ryan Day and Jeff Muller. There's a reason we have both these gentlemen on here together. Jeff, why don't you tell us a little bit about why you're both here?
Well, Ryan and I have decided to start doing this
relationship,
and podcasting.
We know.
Well, yes, there is the budding bromance, but more importantly, we decided to podcast together, and we figured this would be a great place to announce it to the human community.
How much hair do you have left, Jeff?
Why? Why would we immediately? What?
I've been thinking he's been tearing it out trying to deal with me lately because I'm like the flakiest son of a bitch on earth. I'm very hard to get on Skype calls, right, Jeff? Like,
I was not going to throw you under the bus like that.
No, I throw myself under the bus, man. It's fine.
Nor would I throw you under the bus for the 8 million key jingles, pen clicks, and whatever else I edited out of our first episode. But we'll let all that go. Water under the bridge, my friend.
Look, I just wanted to help you practice your editing chops.
You know? Thanks, man. Thanks.
Yeah, good. See, you feel better now, don't you? Having gone through that?
I feel like I got an editing workout.
Yeah.
I thought it was the suggestion I gave your wife to shave your head. Different things, well, I guess.
There's way too much going on with my impending baldness. Can we move on? I'd like that.
It looks like your hairline is judging by the current Skype video feed, holding strong. Holding strong. It's good. Don't worry about it, man.
All right. I feel better now.
Yeah.
So what is this podcast thing you guys are doing?
Well, we are just two nerds who want to talk about fitness to other nerds, perhaps in a way that makes it more palatable than I guess fitness has traditionally been to nerds due to the stereotypical kind of geek jock divide. So, you know, it's our hope that we can kind of bridge that gap and we can get people who were formerly resigned to thinking that they would never be fit, for some definition of fit, to, you know, get started on the path and the road to a richer life experience through fitness.
And add on to that, I mean, to also be able to answer questions more in depth than, you know, Ryan and I get tweeted all the time. It's hard to answer in 140 characters or in a Facebook response to someone. It's a lot easier if the two of us can sit and actually discuss a question in depth and provide real answers to people rather than just the off the cuff response tweet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 140 characters doesn't really allow you like a lot of the depth that is required when you're talking about something as rich as fitness. And when you're talking about something as complicated as any one individual's issues that might be keeping them from, you know, a more healthy, fulfilling lifestyle from a fitness perspective.
Now, to demonstrate a bit of what these guys are talking about, I'm going to volunteer the three of us to throw ourselves on the slab here. Any volunteers, Joey?
Oh, you bitch.
Come on, Joey.
Yeah, man.
Come on. Put yourself on the slab, man. Come on.
Hi, my name is Joey.
Ripping scene from the Indiana Jones film, you know?
My body type is Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Okay.
And I want the chest and biceps of Chris Evans, but I want the ass of Nightwing. What do I do?
Why? Why do you want that?
There we go.
Because I want to look at myself in the mirror and just be like, damn. But I also, you know, I want to be healthy at the same time. That's a nice, you know, add-on.
Yeah, you know, you can be healthy and fat. You know that, right?
Yeah, but I don't want to be fat. And plus, you know, in all seriousness, there are health problems in my family history and whatnot, especially with weight issues and depression, which is part of where I led myself down the same righteous path. So, for me, it's all about mindset and actually becoming focused. Because I'm one of those people that I can get focused on something really well for quite a while, but unless I actually have somebody else there, kind of like, you know, with me, not so much being my cheerleader, but if I'm doing it with somebody else, I stick to it. If I'm doing it solo, it's not that I lose interest. It's something else catches my eye and I don't have that. Hey, focus.
Yeah. There's no accountability, right?
Exactly.
There's no one there like, you know, snapping their fingers. There's no one there reminding you that, hey, this really sucks to do and it's hard. And you might even feel like worse for a few days after you start doing it. But, you know, and there's no one there to keep you on track and keep you honest. It's easy to do the easy thing. You know what I mean?
Precisely. And I think for me, what would help is if a plan was somehow devised in a way that became healthily addictive, the same way when you discover a race and class type in World of Warcraft and you want to get stuck in front of the computer forever, just leveling the crap out of it. If I could find something in, you know, fitness wise on the same level as that, I'd be all over it.
Yeah, that's really the key, right? Is finding something that moves you, right? Some people like FPSs. Some people just like RPGs. Just like some people like weightlifting, some hate it. Some like marathon running, and some hate marathon running. So yeah, you're exactly right. And you have like the really terrific mindset there is that you know you have to have something that will kind of light the fire under you and that is sustaining in that it's something you look forward to doing and you look forward to that self-esteem boost that really comes from getting better at something and getting measurably, you know, healthier, getting measurably faster, getting measurably stronger. And of course, looking in the mirror and going, damn, I look good.
Yeah, I mean, I had the... Like, okay, so when we actually last talked and Pokemon Go is much huger than it is now, granted, they, you know, they just released second gen and whatnot, I've started to get back into it because the weather has actually been improving up in my neck of the woods, which is why I kind of fell out of it because, you know, when it's raining all the time and it looks like crap, do you want to go outside? Probably not.
Not for a Pidgey.
Yeah, not, no, no. but I noticed that I actually had been dropping slowly, mind you. I had been dropping weight because I actually got addicted to the point where I was like, okay, I got 9 eggs. Half of these are 10 kilometers. I'm not going home until they're hatched. So I would like extend my walking constantly. And I was like, all right, well, if I'm going to be out here a while, I need to make sure I have water with me. So I was drinking more water. So like those changes were happening. Mm-hmm. But like with, like I said, like, you know, with the weather, it being too cold, it immediately cut it off, and I've snapped back in the worst freaking way.
So yeah. It sounds like for you, you need something that is mentally engaging to trick yourself into exercising. And that's not it's not a judgment against you. It just seems like that's where your motivation comes from. Does that sound about right?
No, it's completely 100% true. I fully admit to it.
There's nothing to admit to. I mean, it's just how some people are wired. And I think it goes back to what Ryan was saying a moment ago. You know, some people love lifting weights. Some people hate it. Some people love running. Some people hate it. It's about finding something, whatever that is, that engages you mentally as well as physically.
Or so that
when you're doing
right.
it, it's not a grind.
Yeah. Or at the most is tolerable, right? Because you get to hatch, your eggs, right? Because we all gotta cope, right? We all have to cope with our circumstances, you know. I was wired in such a way that I absolutely relish working out, and I have a strong like internal source of motivation to do that. And other people just couldn't care less. They just want the specific results that come along with working out or weightlifting, and they want to do it as little as possible, and that is totally fine too. Absolutely, totally fine.
It's exactly the same with me. I have to trick myself into exercise. So when I was, for example, on the state age netball team, as soon as they said, you have to go running around the oval 6 times, I suddenly hated it. I resented every single moment. But then when I was actually playing the game and I was shooting the hoops, I was excited and I wanted to keep running because I was tricked into doing something I like. And I think that's why I like doing, the trapeze and the lira, not so much the silks, because I can't even tie a knot with my hands, let alone with two left feet dangling 6 feet in the air. But yeah, it's because I don't realize that I'm doing exercise. I go, oh my God, I'm at the circus. I'm going to be amazing.
Yeah.
If I'm not.
Or, you know, you're not walking around, you're helping hatch your Pokemon eggs, right? Same thing.
Yeah. Got to get that Pikachu.
Yeah, I think for me, the suggestion I make to a lot of people, whether they're in a slump and they're trying to get remotivated, they're just trying to get motivated for the first time, is find something physical that doesn't feel like exercise that matches your hobbies. So if you're an avid, like Ryan was saying, first person shooter or player, maybe take up paintball or airsoft, something to get you off the couch, out in the fresh air, running around a lot. And it's exercise without realizing you're exercising. Maybe you play a lot of fighting games. Go take up martial arts. Maybe you're fascinated by Assassin's Creed. Go find a parkour gym. You know, do something that gets you moving. And once you get moving, you start building a little momentum. And then it's easier to start going to the gym or doing other things. And you won't need to trick yourself as much because you've already started the process. Starting is the hardest thing.
I had a friend who lost 20 pounds playing DDR, when DDR was like the big thing. Yeah. It is fantastic. Just 20 pounds over a long period of time. Yes. But he was practicing a pretty cool skill and he was losing weight and he was enjoying himself doing it. And that's totally, totally cool.
So could you have an exercise regime if you love Lord of the Rings where you have to say, right, I'm giving you a ring and you got to go walking so many miles to go throw it into the pits of Mordor. Like, could you have an exercise regime like that?
Yeah, you could do that. There's sure. There's a group of really cool people. So back when I was doing fencing, Olympic style fencing, there was a kind of a parallel group to that called the SCA, which is the Society for Creative Anachronism, right? So these guys actually do procure replica swords and armor, and they have kind of these set piece battles in a fantasy setting. There's also several LARP groups that might be focused towards that kind of thing as well. There's several phone apps that are like run from the zombies. I think Will Wheaton does that. And
Actually. I've done it too. It's a lot of fun.
But there's a lot of gamification type stuff that caters to people who are kind of into the nerd video game scene type thing, but don't have the training or the previous life experience in a physical activity to be naturally drawn towards it the way that I am due to kind of a lifetime of doing this stuff. And any one of these is a really fantastic gateway drug. And the most important thing about things like the SCA or like Jeff was saying, like paintball or a parkour gym, is that it's social. And you're hanging around, and I will always tell you, man, if and this is a bit of a digression, but the most healthy thing that you can possibly do for your life is to have a social group that is immersed in the same kind of healthy interests that you are, right? I'm thinking of a particular friend of mine, and she's always complaining to me about these shitty guys that she's dating, right? And so I'm like, your name or her name, what? Where did you meet this dude? And it's like bar. Where did you meet this guy? I met him at a bar, right? And therein lies the problem with her life, right? Is that she's kind of doing that thing. And I think when a lot of us are going throughout our daily lives, we don't have the sufficient social motivation to stick with a physical activity that's really difficult either. And so when you do something social, parkour gym, paintball, SCA, you automatically have that wonderful feeling that comes with doing things together, moving together in time with like-minded people.
I mean, completely agree with that.
It's a lot easier to find your tribe that way too, because very often it's daunting to walk into a gym if you are not never been a part of gym culture. It's very foreign. It's intimidating, etc. But if you have always played role-playing games and you go join the SCA or HEMA or any of those other sort of reenactment groups or a LARP group or whatever else, you already know that a good portion of those people will share your values and your interests.
Yeah, they're so speaking your language, right? Yeah,
exactly. It's much less intimidating walking into that environment because at least you're not going to feel out of place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the biggest issue that people face is ego, right? Is disposing of an ego and disposing of that fear that they're going to be shitty at something, which is, of course, true. And it's that much easier when you have a ready-made tribe, like Jeff said, of people who are welcoming and have been there before. Solo stuff is much harder to do than group activities to get started in.
100% agree. I mean, my personal story is a little bit of a hybrid. I played a lot of sports. I was very active for a very long time. I played hockey all the way up to I was 16 years old. I had played at a fairly high level. I played baseball. I played a lot of team sports. And I stopped. And a lot of it had just, you know, life-related stuff. It was expensive. I had to pay for it myself after a certain point in time. You know, for those people, you know, that don't understand, like, oh, the Canadians play hockey. Hockey parents should be praised in this country. But the cost of ice is ridiculous up here. Like, I could play baseball for a summer up here for $60. Hockey will cost me $600.
Interesting. I have no idea.
Yeah, wow. It's ridiculous. Well, it's just because of where we are. I mean, ice time, everybody's playing hockey up here. But I got out of team sports and I felt a hole in my life. And that was that team, that camaraderie, that tribe. I lost my tribe. And when that occurred, I filled the void with guilds for video games. Like I was playing MMORPGs, and I needed that social aspect of it. But what was lost was the physical side of things that I was getting from the other side. So I recognize it, and I try to get back into it. I could still do it. I should still do it. It's a lot harder. And I ended up doing the individual sports, and it is very easy to just, let yourself down. Or when you have a tribe that these guys were saying, that he's like, if I don't show up, we're not going to have three lines. If I don't show up, we're not going to have that sixth player for volleyball. That really helps. That motivates. But if it's like, if I don't go for a run tonight, the only person that it hurts is me. It's a lot easier to take a night off.
Yep.
And as you were saying, a lot of my friends used to be sport guys, and a lot of my friends aren't right now. They're were of the age where most people have let that go, or they never did. And because of that, I'm not surrounded by the same people as I once was. And it affects you. It totally affects you. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. You're the average of the five people you hang around most,
Yes.
That's what they say.
So true. I mean, I don't know what you mean by of the age. I don't know what you're talking about there. But yeah, people as they get older, they tend to fall out of things like that. But I think even if it's not a team sport, even if it's not, we need you to play this position in the outfield for softball, or, this person on the line in volleyball or whatnot. If you have a group of people that just say, hey man, we miss you, where have you been?
Yep.
If it's a social activity, that's keeping you moving, just that social piece of it really helps. That there's a difference between a trainer going, I haven't seen you in the gym, why aren't you in here? Drop and give me 20. And friends who you hang out with after your active social activity saying, hey man, we didn't see you last week, everything cool? That's a totally different vibe. And it's a lot easier for people, I think, to get into stuff when that's the motivation.
Exactly. But that's so well said. It's the confidence of knowing and getting the reinforcement that you do matter to some people, and that you do brighten up their day, or you might make that run seem a little shorter when you're hanging out with them. It's about being that kind of teammate, having that kind of camaraderie, and the ease of a burden that comes with a shared load, right? Yep. And you can be that for other people, which feels absolutely fantastic. And you can take that helping hand from somebody who's running and doing miles right along there with you. And I think that's why exercise, specifically, I think team sports and group activities are kind of among the most uplifting things that you can take part in. Because let's face it, guys, working out's fucking hard. Especially when you reach a level above the kind of dilettante level, it becomes increasingly difficult for increasingly small returns, which sounds kind of like, depressing, but it's really not. It's about you being a hero of your own story in a certain way. And if you're starting this hero's journey in a bad place, then it makes it that much more important that you get started someplace.
So let's start with those building blocks. And I know you wrote a couple of books on this, Jeff, and you've told me this various times. Where does one start when they're like, okay, now my life is going to begin. Now I'm going to make it healthy. Where do I start?
Man, it's so difficult to say definitively where someone starts, because everyone is at a different place when they make that call. But generally speaking, I suggest people don't make any changes right away. I like people to take a week or two and take stock of their life as it is. Food journaling, I think, is one of my favorite activities to give someone who's just wanting to start out, because 99% of the people out there have no idea what they're putting in their body and how much of it. And it's hard to make changes if you don't have data. So sitting down and just without judgment, whether you want to lose weight or you want to gain weight, either way, doesn't matter. Sitting down for a week and recording everything you eat in a notebook, and then at the end of that week, going back and assessing it, is one of the best activities anyone can do. And that goes for people that are even in good shape. that have been working out for a while, if you haven't done that exercise in a while, it's good to revisit it. It's good to just level set things.
I also found like some of the food tracking apps, the Fitness Pals, you have it, the Fitbits, really give you a perspective on, you know, calories are just a very specific thing, but it'll show you how much each thing that you think, oh, it's just a little, how much weight it has, and on that in terms of, you know, your overall kind of, you know, health intake in terms of food. Like there was a meal that I used to really enjoy getting from a very specific fast food restaurant that I thought was pretty healthy. It's almost 2,000 calories. And mm-hmm. that's almost my whole daily intake if I want to live a healthy lifestyle with one meal. You start seeing these numbers and it starts to shock you. And you start making decisions reflexively going, wow, right. That's really bad. I don't think I'm getting as much return on those calories as I should.
So you stopped eating at Chipotle right after that?
No, that's Elias. That's not.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. That's the electronic tracking apps are great. I'm an old school guy. I think writing down by hand.
Oh man,
cements it.
I actually completely back Jeff up in this, and that I absolutely love the feel of a pen in my hand, writing down my my sets and my reps and. When I'm food logging what I ate, it makes it seem more tangible and real. But you might not be like that at all. Like the point behind this all is to find your secret sauce, what you find motivating out of life. And that goes for what you want to do physically. And it goes for what motivates you in terms of why you want to do this.
And that segues into the next thing I would recommend people do is define your goals.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get fit. Is not a goal that's achievable. You need to really understand what you want to do and why you want to do it, which to call back to the very beginning when we started talking, when Ryan asked Joey, why do you want those, you know, Chris Evans biceps and that Nightwing ass? I mean, I get why you want that ass. I get it. But I mean, but really, really being honest with yourself and saying, okay, what do I want? And then figuring out how you can get there and making sure that your behavior is congruent with your goals.
Yeah. And I think we talked extensively about this in the first episode of our podcast, didn't we, Jeff?
I believe we did.
Yeah. And there's a couple of tips that I want to add here is that you say you want the biceps, you want that ass. And I'm here to tell you all of that fades in time. You know, all of that fades in time. But I'll tell you what doesn't fade in time, my friends. What doesn't fade in time are
storytelling with Ryan.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's like the additional hours that you can spend with people that you love, right? Yes. It's the additional capability that you might have to walk up and downstairs to hoist up your niece or your nephew or your own children in your arms and your grandchildren and maybe your great grandchildren. It's the capability to deal with the vicissitudes of life with aplomb and physical virility. You know, in abs, that's a nice side effect, but I'm here to tell you, not everybody is going to look like that. And I'm also here to tell you that that is totally okay. It is absolutely fine to never look like Chris Evans because there are some incredible people. There are some incredible athletes who look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And again, no offense. It's just I'm stating fact. You know, there are incredible athletes who are fat. There are, you know, incredible people who are fat. And so, like Jeff said, you have to find that internal source of motivation, right? I want to be here healthy for the people who I love throughout a long life. I want to share the stories and I want to share the good times. And I want to be able to, you know, share that with the people who I love and my descendants, you know, for as long as I possibly can. And there's your call to action, right? And I also want to echo Jeff's statement about setting really good, smart goals. Is that, you know, I want to be fit. Well, you have to define what fitness means in this context, right? What if your goal is just to lose 3 pounds? Like, that's it. That's your proximal goal. That's your near-term goal is 3 pounds. You know, don't try to boil the ocean. You know, it never works. Because you know how hard it is to get rid of a bad habit. It's every bit as hard to start a good habit as well.
I wanted to bring forth something that I'm personally dealing with, and that probably a lot of our viewers are dealing with, that may not have, you know, had the. I'll just cut the chase. People who are dealing with injury. Now, yep. Once you get injured, it's really easy just to say, all right, I'm done, throw in the towel, and that's it. Like, for those of you that listen to the podcast, I've recently torn my Achilles tendon, and I'm a couple of months into rehab, and everything's going great, and that's awesome. But people, I mean, they're asking me, are you going to play volleyball again? And a big part of me is like, well, should I? And I mean, and I love playing volleyball. It's one of my favorite sports that there is. And I want to get to the point where I don't have to ask myself that question. And, you know, that's when I have the age question. That's when I have all these other stupid little things that sit in the back of your head that, you know, have never really been a thing for me, now are a thing for me. How does someone both physically and mentally come back from an injury?
Jeff, you're in that state right now, aren't you?
I'm just coming off of an injury. Yeah. Awesome. Ryan and I both have suffered, you know, injuries throughout our life.
Yeah, comes with the territory.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm coming off of a bad knee sprain. Pretty much rehabbed it back to normal, and it is difficult. Again, I keep going back to the concept of momentum. When you have an injury, you lose your momentum. And then it takes a lot of effort to get the car moving. It doesn't take a lot of effort to keep it going. So when it comes to fitness, it's willpower a lot of times. It takes a lot of willpower to get moving. But once you're going, you're good. So that hard stop that happens when you have an injury is difficult to deal with. I think that unless your injury is such where going back to previous activities is dangerous. You know, for instance, if you had a neck or a spinal injury, and yes, you've rehabbed it, but your doctor's looking at you and saying, please don't do those things again because another injury could seriously impact your life. And if it's not something like that, if it's something like your Achilles tendon or you tear a hamstring, or for me, you badly sprain your knee, going back to the old activity, I think, is fine. And especially if it's one you love, you just want to take care. You want to do it slowly. As someone who's getting older, like yourself, Blair, you probably want to ease your way back into it with lots of stretching, lots of self-care, making sure you're doing whatever the doctor or physical therapist has told you to do. But yeah, don't avoid going back to it. Don't give in to that enemy, you know? So what? You hurt yourself. You hurt yourself. You had some time off. Maybe you spent some time catching up on TV shows, reading some books, playing some video games that you didn't have time for before. But now that you're healed up, get back in there, wipe the dirt off your knees, and get back to it. Don't let it keep you down.
Mm-hmm. I found this great thing. I injured my knee pretty badly back in September. I was on crutches for felt like ages, but I was going stir crazy because I couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. So I found this great game where you can dance sitting down. So I would sit on the lounge and it gave you like the Little Mermaid choreography. So you would pretend you would have a tail and you'd sort of move your arms and your legs around and stuff. And it was just great because that way I wasn't hurting myself, but I felt like I wasn't just – yeah, staying still.
There's video of this, right? There has to be video. I demand video.
There's another way too. Sorry for interjecting. There's another way too, is that you can look for parallel opportunities. You know, some sports were specifically founded as off-season training tools for sports that were not in season, right? If you have an injury in a shoulder in jiu-jitsu, well, you work on your triangle chokes, or you work on stuff, other stuff, and you roll more carefully. You roll from positions that don't compromise your injury. You know, if your shoulder is injured, you know, take up spin class or something else that isn't as weight bearing on the shoulder. The important thing is to keep moving and to keep positively motivated that you're going to get back to it one day. You know, you have to kind of, you know, brave the rapids, you know, the best way that you can through life. And sometimes the avenue will be closed forevermore to you. You know, I've been injured like that before. That's why I don't do CrossFit anymore, is because I had ACJ sprains, grade 2 in both shoulders, and I also had sacroiliitis in both hips. So that closed kind of CrossFit, thank God, to me for forevermore. and so now I do other stuff, right? And it's just like, well, that's life for you, right? And it's all about saying, not having this kind of all or nothing mindset where you're like, if I can't do that, I won't have nothing. I just do nothing.
Right. Yeah. Two things I want to talk about. First of all, Jeff's allowed to talk shit about me. He put me in a chokehold this summer, so I got not a leg to stand on. He may be older,
nice
but he's more.
I was nice to you. God damn it.
You were very nice to me,
Jeff. You know we're supposed to use our powers for good only.
That was
no,
good.
He did.
Oh, okay.
Did.
Good point. All right.
He really was, but basically at the end, he's like, "Go against the wall to let one of the white belts go against you," and the guy running the thing goes, "Nope, Jeff, you and your buddy right off." And I'm like, "Oh no."
That's how it goes at my academy too. Is you always roll with your whoever brought you first.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was probably the best workout I'd had in a long time. So he's allowed to talk shit. He's earned the right. But secondly, and the thing I wanted to talk about, because I'm clearly coming from a position where 2 months ago I was disabled. I was on crutches. I was taking a scooter to and from work. I got to see how the other side lives on a daily basis, and for me it was just a temporary thing, and the whole thing, everyone's like, oh, you're gonna miss the scooter. I'm like, no, I want to walk again. You have no idea how much those things are precious. Yeah. And don't poo-poo anything that you think is not for you. I mean, I am just as guilty of this as anyone else. Is yoga is an incredibly good form of exercise, especially as you're getting older.
It is.
Stress becomes so much more important. And it, you know, as I'm going through rehab, and once I'm done rehab, yoga is becoming a full-time thing in my life, because it has to be.
Oh, that's awesome.
The reason why my injury occurred was my calves were ticking time bombs. When I started going to physio, they were working on my hurt calf, and then she looked at my other one and she goes, "You know, your other one's actually worse than the one that you tore. This thing can go off at any time." And it was just, that was my normal. I thought that was the way they were supposed to be. So as I'm rehabbing my injured leg, I'm also doing the same sort of exercise on my, you know, technically good leg. And I'm finding I'm starting to get more range of motion in my injured leg right now, because I was focusing so much on that to begin with.
Interesting.
So, I mean, don't be afraid of spin class. Don't be afraid of yoga. Don't be afraid of any of these things that you just think, oh, that's not something that someone like me does. Well, if you want to be healthy, you got to do what you got to do, man.
Yeah, I don't buy that whole, you know, that's not something I would do thing. You know, people look at me funny because I have always said I would kill to find a local class where I could do ballet. Mm-hmm. But as an adult male, that's not, you can't walk into the normal ballet academy and say, "Hey, I want to join."
Yeah, there you go, Carolyn.
Yeah,
you can move to Maryland and set up a ballet school, and Jeff will be your first
client.
Yeah,
with Skype lessons.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, people look at me funny when I say I'd love to do that. Like, why? Because they're phenomenal athletes.
Yeah,
and I think
some of the best on earth, right? So absolutely, some of the best athletes on earth.
And it looks like fun, and the byproducts that come from it, the flexibility, the balance, the grace. I mean, I think that'd be fantastic, and I dare anyone to tell me, "Oh, that's for sissies or whatever else." Come on, man. You know,
you can't get over that look shit. At a woman. You can't look at a woman who stuffs her feet in toe shoes and dances on her toes for hours and then tell her that she's a wimp. Like,
no,
you don't get to do that.
No, not
you're
at all.
Tough it out so much.
Joey, you got some questions?
What?
Oh, I do have questions. So I have run rapid fire with both of you before, but I've actually done this cool alternative thing now where during the interview, I take inspired questions that I randomly create throughout the episode while we're interviewing. And then when it comes time, I ask them. So I've actually got three. These are going to be for both of you. You guys can decide who answers first. So here we go. When you guys are working out, what music is key to keeping you in the zone while you're doing your exercise?
I don't do it. I don't listen to any.
I couldn't do that. I have to keep do it. Otherwise, I'm like, it's too quiet.
Yeah, most people in the gym I see have headphones, and I just prefer the sound of my own thoughts, really. Grunts. And well, I don't grunt, man. I think you better be lifting a Volkswagen if you're gonna be grunting. You know what I mean? But I just like to count off a cadence in my own head, you know, and I keep a mental. This is weightlifting, by the way, because that's what I've been doing a lot of lately. Is that I just keep a roving mental eye on my entire body, and you know where it is in space, and where all the limbs are in space. And I don't feel I could do that with music on.
So yeah, I don't do the music thing anymore either. I used to. Now I do podcasts.
Interesting.
As do I.
Podcasts are. I find a lot of my workouts are very grueling, just not due to the amount of weight, but due to the amount of reps and the length of the workouts that I do. And I find that focusing on the narrative of a podcast allows me to kind of ignore the suck factor and just keep going. So, podcasts for me.
I haven't tried that. Maybe I'll give that a shot. That's actually a pretty cool idea.
I found the music be like Sugar Rush, Sugar Crash, though. Like, you'd have a really high energy song and you'd be really jacked. But as soon as something came down, no matter if it's still a hype song, you crash, you come down. And when you come down, it may not be in the right point in time in the actual exercise.
You know, when I did run, I did have a specific playlist for the specific route that I took that was mapped out to have certain songs during certain portions of the run. Cause I would keep a very constant pace when I ran this route. And that was kind of cool, saying, okay, here's my song for this hill, right? Yep. Here's the downhill song. And it was really fun, creative exercise, kind of creating that playlist to match the route with the songs and make it line up perfectly. That was a pretty big thrill for me. But for like weightlifting and, of course, for jiu-jitsu, I don't know if it's that much of an option, you know, for me.
Well, when I understand the whole injury thing with CrossFit, because that's – I did the Insanity program a couple years ago, and I ended up having to stop because I injured my ankle, which it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been doing it outdoors on unlevel ground, which was my own fault. But the warm-up that they do, which was really cool in the DVD, was that I could either have the audio track where it's just him talking through it, you know, like, you know, do this, you know, then do that. Or you could have their music playing. Well, I would turn their music off, and then I would map my own music to where and what he was doing, and I would even have it time-coded so it would just blend smoothly. Because I understand what Blair's saying with the whole, you know, sugar rush, sugar crash.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to have to, I didn't want to deal with that. So I was like, okay, what song do I want to do the cool down? Now, what song am I going to do to work my way up? Because there'd be a point where you're working your way up, and I'd be like, okay, Madonna's Jump would be perfect here, because that's a good, you know, ascending song, and then like this is the one where you're just gonna barrel ass on it, so it's like, let's get some Rammstein up in here. That I would do that. So
sounds like you really enjoyed the process of mapping that out for yourself, actually.
Exactly, and it made it interactive for me, which is why I stuck with it. But you know,
there's tons of ways to geek out when you're working out, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my point exactly. Yep.
All right, so second question is, what is a good way for people to create an experience tier system? An example would be like how Final Fantasy works on gaining experience to reach their fitness goals.
Wow.
That's a cool question. You know, there's a site called Fitocracy that purports to kind of do that, to assign levels to your progress as an athlete. I haven't logged on in a matter of years. But it was pretty cool when I did it a couple of years ago. But more to your question. Jeff, do you want to handle this one first?
Dumping this one on me.
That's right, dude. Just pass it.
I think creating determining what your end goal, your end state is going to be. So taking it back to your video game example. Let's say you have always been enamored with, let's say, the rogue class. Every time you play an MMORPG, you play a rogue or a hunter. So you seem to be more oriented toward dex-based stuff and flexibility and quickness. Or maybe you lean more towards the barbarian fighter class, where it's more about brute strength. So determine where you want to go and then set up some levels of goals to get you there. Map out that process. Use some of that geek mental energy that we all share, that joy of sitting down and looking at data and figuring out how can I get there, and coming up with a series of goals that play off of each other to get you from your start point to that end point goal. But I think determining where you want to go and how you want the end state to look in terms of your own personal fitness is the first step. Then figuring out where you are is the second step. And then it's just a matter of being realistic and finding the stepping stones to get you there. I know that's a pretty wishy-washy answer, but there's so much involved in those middle steps. But yeah, you got to take those first two. You got to figure out where you want to go and where you're coming from first.
Yeah, this is a theme that we've been across already in this podcast, is the theme of goals and goal setting. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there is such a thing as grinding XP in fitness. I think that's how you get into a rut, and I think that's how you get burned out, is constant repetition of something that fails to inspire and challenge you. And that's why I quit WoW, right? It just was more of the same old stuff in a slightly different skin. And there comes a point where you reach your genetic potential as a human being. You're never going to get stronger than that point. You're never going to get more flexible. You're never going to be able to have more endurance than a certain point, right? That point is far off for almost all of us, and the vast majority of us will never reach that point. And so I think that what Jeff says is absolutely vital to pay attention to, is the concept of setting goals, the concept of always looking towards the horizon, right? That stuff that's just over the horizon, and making a plan to get there. And if you call that leveling, perfect. But yet you absolutely, what you do has to challenge you and result in some form of failure, believe it or not.
Yes. Because
you can't set goals that are easy, because those inspire no one, right?
Mm-hmm. It's important to have multiple tiers of goals too.
Yeah.
Those horizon level goals, the long-term goals, the goals that are so far out there that if you tried to achieve them right now, you would just fail outright.
Yeah. So call that level 10.
Exactly. Yeah,
so call that level 10 and you're at level one, right? And then when you find a way that you have reasonable, sensible, I guess, I don't know what you guys are familiar with, SMART goals or not. What is it? Let's see, timely, in no particular order, it's like achievable, timely, et cetera. So I guess even subdivisions of goals up until you reach that horizon. You know?
Yeah, short-term goals, medium-term goals, long-term goals. The short-term goals should be the ones that you can definitely achieve. The medium goals are maybe ones you can fail at, and that's okay. Then you tackle a couple more short-term goals till you get to the point where that medium goal you can achieve. And slowly but sure, you work your way to that long-term goal, that level 10 goal, to get you that epic armor you've always wanted. And wow, you know, that process.
Yeah, there's a reason why they don't just give you the really good armor right off the bat. You know, it's like you have to work for it.
Well, yeah, I was thinking, you know, as you guys were explaining all that, I think for me, in some kind of warped way, it's like, okay, so, you know, WoW, we'll just use WoW because it's a universal example nowadays. You know, your level cap now is at 110. So 110, you know, your legacy rating gear for me anyways, you know, because for me, it's not just because I want to look good, but there's also a part of mental confidence from looking good and being healthy at the same time, which comes from that, because physical health can affect, you know, your mental health. And if you're just not liking yourself as you are, like, something's got to change. Obviously, you know, you're your own worst enemy. But anyways, back to the whole main point. So for me, you know, okay, right now I digressed back to level one, but my level 110 is going to be, you know, Chris Evans torso, Nightwing ass and whatnot. And it's like, okay, so how, what, you know, it's, I think for me, it would be setting up goals of like, okay, so this is what you achieve at, you know, level 10. What is it that I'm unlocking at level 10? I have to go through and decide what that short-term goal is, you know, and the reward that comes with it, and then decide, okay, so this is what I've done now. What's my next step to enhance what I've already done / am doing to continue further so I don't stay in that rut?
Man, I'll tell you something. Go for it, Jeff, because I got some interesting thoughts about this, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Okay, well, I was just going to say that at some point, though, and while you can do that yourself, you can come up with your waypoints and your goals and whatnot, but man, it's hard. If you are not well-versed in fitness, if you are not well-versed in nutrition, it is very difficult to map out that sort of journey if you've really regressed to level one, which, by the way, I don't believe you have.
Yeah,
if you had already made it to level 30 at one point, taking some time off might drop you down to level 15. You're not back to level one. I guarantee it. Your body will remember some things and will adapt faster to working out now than it did the first time around. That aside, though, making those sorts of massive jumps is very difficult to do without real guidance. Not saying you can't do it. It's going to take a lot of studying. It's going to take a lot of reading, a lot of sifting through bullshit online.
Oh yeah.
A lot of trial and error, a lot of, you know, going through the insanity workouts or going through other things or trying CrossFit or whatnot and going, nope, that's going to blow my shoulder out. Nope, that's not for me. And then also looking at time management, because your workout time is limited always. And if you have very specific goals like you seem to have for your physique, you're going to have to pick things to fill that time that funnel you and guide you toward those goals and not be distracted either. And that's very difficult as well. Not saying that you can't do what you're looking to do. I am saying it's a hard road. Not to discourage you.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think we're coming off, Jeff, sounding like we're a bummer, like we're kind of discouraging him, or like we're being downers or something like that. So I'm actually having a lot of trouble trying to express what I'm thinking about this subject.
Yeah.
And here's one of the random thoughts that popped in my head is that the goal is there's a famous coach called Dan John, is that the goal is to keep the goal, right? And you never know where you want to go next. Because right now you might be looking at Chris Evans and he's like the apotheosis of everything that you want to be. And so you set that as a goal and then you start working towards that. But somewhere along the line, something has changed for you. Like you suddenly become interested in doing what you were doing, whether it be Pokemon hunting, or suddenly you were going through a wilderness area looking for Pokemon and you just fell in love with hiking for the sake of hiking because you love the outdoors or you love nature. This is just an example, by the way. All of a sudden, your goal is shifted somewhat, right? Because Chris Evans becomes background noise. And the purpose of doing what you're doing is because it's what you love doing it. And I'll tell you one thing that I would never wish upon anybody is grinding through something that they consider inherently unpleasant day after day. That's something that I really, when it comes down to it, it might be necessary to do that. But it certainly would, I think, behoove you to find something that has an inherent level of interest for you. Because I will tell you something about Chris Evans is that he don't look like Chris Evans 365.
Nope.
Right? That's the funny thing about Hollywood is that it always finds a way to make us loathe ourselves. It always finds a way to make us think that we're not good enough. It always finds a way to give us a really warped perspective on where we fit in humanity, you know? Because I sure as shit don't look like Chris Evans or like Wolverine or any of those guys. You know, I look like me, and I've developed my physique and my capabilities because of doing what I do day in, day out. I'll give you an example. I tell you what, I have a huge amount of trouble finding blue jeans that fit. Can't do it.
Oh, preaching to the choir.
Can't admit the thighs and can't admit the ass. For a long time, like, I was really down on myself. I was like, I'll never look stylish. I'll never look good. And then I thought to myself one day, shit, dude, this is what you worked for. This is what you lift squats. This is what you did deadlifts. This is what you did leg presses. And this is what you did kicks and BJJ for, and to get this legs and ass. And now you're saying this is not what you wanted in the first place because you can't fit into jeans. And that's what I mean by the goal is to keep the goal the goal. If that makes any sense to you.
Oh, no, it makes perfect sense. And I also want to point out, because I feel like there was a mild misconception when I was saying, you know, what the goal is. I agree, keeping the goal, because even if you feel like you've achieved that goal at, say, you know, level 80, for example, you know, it's still an ultimate goal, because it's like, if you want to continue to look your best and, you know, to hold on to that for even as long as you possibly can, it's a matter of changing your lifestyle. It's a matter of changing, okay, so this is what I'm doing now. Obviously, this can't remain the same if this is what I want to achieve. And by no means am I saying, well, I want to come up with a plan that I can do in 90 days and go from flab to fab. This is something that would probably take, you know, at the very minimum of 2 years to even remotely look like, because Rome wasn't built in a day, and, you know, neither was that physique. So that, I just want to stress, this isn't like a, you know, like I'm going to be grinding at it like six hours a day, every day with no days off kind of a thing. I hope nobody was taking that as a misconception.
I find it, I generally tend to try and nudge people away from goals that are about appearance.
Or especially somebody else's appearance.
Oh, yeah. Don't even get me started on that, using external goals like that. I tend to push people towards goals about how you feel. If you feel good and you feel strong, that should be the goal. And the way you look is a byproduct of achieving the goal of how you feel. And if you feel good, if you feel healthy, you feel strong, you feel full of energy, how you achieve that can constantly change. You know, it can morph and change and whatever, because as we get older, you know, as life circumstances change, what you have to do to maintain that feeling of energy and strength will change as well. And that's different than focusing on, I want that appearance over there, and then having to kind of map yourself to a roadmap to get there. I don't know if that makes any sense or not.
I think another way to put this, and again, I couldn't agree with you more. Like, I couldn't say it better. I just want to say it a different way that's probably not better. It's this, they focus on capability rather than appearance.
Yeah.
Like, what can you do? What feats can you accomplish, right? What feats? And think about it in terms of feats, like accomplishment of feats, you know? Other people, you alluded that you set a goal of Chris Evans, but you didn't want us to take it like that's what you'd be doing 6 days a week, right? But, well, that's what Chris Evans does to look like Chris Evans.
Yep.
When he's training for a role. He has a personal trainer that the studio pays for. He counts, his trainers count every single calorie that he eats. They do all of the thinking for him. They tell him what to do. He doesn't have to do anything except show up. But us, boy, we got to work, to work every day. We have to think and plan out our meals. We have to think and fit in our workout between dealing with and providing for and, you know, loving our family, our relationships, our pets, our friends. Whereas it's Chris Evans' job to look like Chris Evans. That's his entire job. Because it sure isn't necessarily.
When he stops that job, it doesn't take long for him to stop looking like that, too.
Oh, no. Yeah. A matter of days.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, do you cut weight, Jeff, for competition?
I do.
Mm-hmm. How much weight do you cut?
Generally speaking, I'll cut, nowadays I've stopped cutting as much. I used to cut around 14 pounds. Now I cut more like 9 to 10.
I cut 30 pounds once.
That's crazy talk.
Yeah, it was awful. I ate nothing but protein and no salt. Chicken breasts, no salt, and water for 8 days. And I looked fucking shredded, but I was miserable, and I got crushed because I had no energy because I had to move down a weight class. I moved down a weight class, but I got crushed because I was exhausted. But I looked fucking shredded in the mirror, but I felt like a sponge that had been wrung out really hard. And when Chris said, and again, I think I sound preachy right now. I even sound preachy to me right now, but I've just, you know, I can't help but be preachy right now because, you know, you're obviously an incredibly fun, incredibly energetic dude. You know, you put a lot of thought into your questions, and I really fucking hate to see a goal that's not based off of loving yourself how you are right now. You know what I mean? And if I'm taking you the wrong way, please forgive me for overstepping. You know what I'm saying?
Like, No. I whether you're being preachy or not, it doesn't matter, because those are things that not only do I as a person would necessarily need to hear, but, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's somebody else out there that's listening to this right now that is thinking, you know, I have the same goal as him, but maybe I have a goal of a different ass or something. Who knows? You know, Hugh Laurie, I don't know. You know, everybody's got their taste.
It's about the ass with you, isn't it?
But,
well, look, wait,
Hugh Laurie? Let's rewind to Hugh Laurie for a second.
Do we have to? I don't want to talk about Hugh Laurie's ass. Can we not do this?
Anyways, no.
He's pretty good, though. He's a good singer.
Definitely.
He's just good, dude.
But no, you're not coming off preachy to me at all. I completely 100% understand.
And it feels like I haven't answered your question.
No, you honestly have, because you've answered it in a way that has propelled me to think, okay, how much do I love myself, even though, you know, Ryan friggin' Day is telling me, you know, like, you're an awesome, you know, great person, and I want to make sure that what you're doing is because, you know, for the right reasons and not, you know, for a vanity thing, which, no, I'm not gonna lie. I have a vanity problem.
Nothing wrong with vanity.
We all do, man.
Yeah.
We all are vain. Listen.
Why do you think we do podcasts?
I mean, we talked about last time I was on a podcast, done a little bit of acting and things like that. And there was a movie I was shooting not too long ago, indie movie, where I had to go shirtless. And for a week, I did the same thing that Ryan mentioned. I was on a no salt diet. I was eating nothing but protein, whatever, so that I had that six pack, because for my vanity, I needed that. But let me tell you something. A day later, it was back to being a three piece and a biscuit. Like, it just, you know, I got there, I did what I had to do, and then it dropped off, because that's not a healthy, to me, that's not a healthy goal to just have. I must have a six pack. Why? Why must I have that? If it's a byproduct of what I'm doing, great. But
Jeff, tell me if this tell me if this resonates with you. And when you got there, it was fairly hollow, right? When you got the six pack, it's just kind of okay.
It was hollow, mostly because my stomach was very angry and hungry, and I felt hollow from the inside out. It might, but who knows? When the movie comes out and I see that scene, I might go, "Yeah, it was worth it." But I might not. Yeah, who knows? But that, again, that was a short term goal for a short term thing. I achieved it. I went, okay, great, and I moved on. Echoing what Ryan said, I don't want to sound like I'm shitting all over your goals or even more.
No, you're really not. And I have a problem where I don't actually fully vocally articulate all of the, you know, bells and whistles and what's it of exactly why that is my goal. And the only way that I can articulate many things is, okay, well, here's a mental visual example of what I want to achieve. But internally, it would take me 500 years to explain all of the reasons of why that's my goal.
All I say is make your goal, I want to be stronger. And if, as a byproduct of becoming stronger, your arms look better and your ass is fuller, great.
Yeah, pretty much. 100%, yeah, 100% that. Yeah.
And working to be stronger is a much easier goal to achieve than the external reflection of that strength being biceps and dad ass, if that makes sense.
Pretty much, yeah, 100%. Yep.
All right. Really quick then. The final question was, and this will probably be easier to answer for you. What would be an alternative way of rewarding yourself for reaching your milestone goals? So let's say, like, you know, your main goal is from, you know, at point B, you're at point A, but your milestones are, like, say you have 100 milestones along the way, you know, to keep you motivated. Mm-hmm. What would be a great way to reward yourself that's not food? Because I've seen a lot of different things where they're like, you know, you do your diet for this long, but on this day you can binge. I don't want to do that. I don't want to binge because I know that if I do, I'm breaking my diet the second I binge. And many other people agree with that. I want to do something to reward myself where I'm not doing that.
And you wanted us to answer this one quickly. Oh, Lord. Here we go. Okay.
So first off, if you read a book by Stéphane Gagnier, he's a neurophysiologist, food researcher. He works on the food reward hypothesis. His book just came out. I'm trying to find it. He's one of the people I respect the most in sort of the fitness industry because, A, he's a published neuroscientist researcher who worked specifically on food reward. Let me get this real quick. So as it turns out, very occasional, if you are seriously calorically deprived, binging is actually not a bad thing. And if you look at work on protein sparing modified fasts, they will all advocate a once a week meal that is well above your maintenance level of calories. Now, whether that meshes with your individual idea of discipline and diet, but basically what I'm trying to say is that the conventional dietary thoughts, such as those on TV shows like The Biggest Loser, lead to awful, awful, awful things. A lot of derangement for metabolism, things like that. The book from Stéphane Gagnier is called The Hungry Brain. So that explains the food reward hypothesis. And his research has been a big eye-opener for me. Now, onto your rewards. Before you said it wouldn't be food, I was literally going to say a giant steak and a sundae. That was literally what I was going to say. And really, I kind of mean that because it's really whatever would nourish your soul. Right? Whatever nourishes your soul. And I'm getting that you're kind of excluding food from that. And for me, you know, it's like a nice glass of whiskey, you know. But for me, it would be just like a nice meal with my girlfriend at a nice restaurant. Big steak, maybe some tapas, you know, something like that. But that's just me. You know, maybe I can't think of anything. See, here's the problem is that I can't think of anything that I wouldn't be doing anyway. Movie? I'd probably see a movie anyway. Or, go out for a walk. I'd probably be doing that anyway. But when I'm achieving fitness goals or cutting weight for a tournament or I'm trying to meet a weight goal or something like that, typically what I do is I carve away excess calories. And so the way I reward myself for progress in that vein is making up a little bit for lost time. So that's actually kind of my answer, actually, you know, because I wouldn't be necessarily depriving myself of anything else.
Yeah, I agree. Food was where I was going immediately too, because I live by kind of the 80-20 rule, very, very yep. simplistic. 80% of the time I'm on point and 20% of the time I don't give a crap. And that 20% of the time is when my willpower kind of refreshes itself like an energy bar in a video game.
And I think here's the problem with that, because I'm absolutely right there with you, is that we're kind of used to the grind. Like this is it's a quotidian thing for us. We're used to it. It's a way of life for us. 80-20, just have a salad, turkey breast, chicken breast, you know, maybe some hummus, and then a whole wheat pita, shit like that, you know, and then splurge on the weekends, you know, one or 2 days a week, right? Have a pizza, whatever. And I think you and I kind of lose sight of the fact about how difficult a lifestyle that is to actually adopt and what a difficult habit it is to kind of inculcate into yourself. You know what I mean? So from that perspective, the question makes a whole hell of a lot more sense to me, right? Joey, is that kind of?
Because let alone myself, anybody rather, you know, when they adopt a new way of eating and living life, for that matter, they start to realize, oh, I am a glutton when it comes to food, or I'm a glutton when it comes to this, and if I break the track that I've been so good to be on, I just know I'm not gonna stay on the track.
I agree with you. I think when you're first starting out, it's important to be very disciplined about it for that reason. But eventually, I think what Ryan and I are trying to say is eventually you can get to the point where you've developed the willpower and the discipline that stops being an issue. For the most part. Now, obviously, for some people, it's always going to be an issue, et cetera. But in a lot of cases, you get past that once you get over that initial hump. But going back to your original question, maybe a goal you could set for yourself or a reward you could set for yourself. I've been noodling this while we're talking here, especially, you know, if your goal is losing or gaining significant amounts of weight, is when you get 3, 4, 5 milestones down the road, you reward yourself with a nice piece of clothing you've been eyeing. You know, something new that'll fit you now in a different way and make you feel even better about the progress you've made that highlights the progress you've made. Maybe it's a new pair of shoes or a new pair of jeans, Ryan. Maybe they make some jeans that your legs will finally fit into. Who knows? maybe you buy that or a new suit jacket or something that just makes you feel even better. And then
the road. Go get a manicure. Go get a fucking pedicure. Yes. Sounds silly. Right. Go get
a massage. You
know, go get one of those fucking straight razor shaves, you know?
Yeah.
Like from a really expensive like barber or something like that. Go get a new haircut. Change your haircut look.
Treat yourself.
Yeah. Get your eyebrows plucked. Like really fucking look like a champ, you know? Like let the outside reflect the inner change too.
Yes.
You know?
I'm gonna get that Sword Art Online phone case I've been wanting.
That too. Whatever, man. Just you know, get rid of the shabby old things that don't reflect the person who you want to be. I just got rid of the fucking couches that I had since college, like 2 months ago. And it felt really cool. It felt really cool seeing how the brand new couches, you know, in my living room. It felt really cool, even though it's just a couch. It's just to sit on. It's sort of a symbol, right? It's a symbolism. It's a symbol of your progression into a new stage of life. Old clothes go out, old furniture goes out, old hairstyle goes out the door, right? Find that cute girl at Sephora and talk to her about cologne, for instance. I did that one time a long time ago. All of these things.
Good stuff. All right, gentlemen, where can we find your podcast? What's the name? Where are you guys going to be publishing it and all those sort of things?
It is the Geek Fitness Matters podcast. You can find us all over the place. So by the time this goes live, everything should be finalized. You can find us on Twitter at GFM Podcast. You can find us on Facebook at GFM Podcast. You can reach us, both of us, via email at gfmpodcast@thejerd.com. You can find episodes at gfmpodcast.thejerd.com. And you can also reach us if you have questions, you want to talk to us about stuff, over at the Team Human Forum. Ryan, do you have that URL?
I think it's forum.teamhuman.com/geekfitnessmatters. All lowercase or in title case will both work.
Excellent.
So
excellent.
All over the place you can find us. And we'll be on iTunes shortly, Stitcher, Google Play as well.
What about your personal Twitter, Jerd?
That is @TheMightyJerd. And you are?
@Ryan, R-Y-O-N, _Day, D-A-Y, on Twitter.
Good stuff. Well, I want to thank both of these gentlemen for joining us once again for the show. You guys have always been great. You're two amazing people doing amazing things for this community. I can't say enough good about you. make sure to listen to all of their podcasts. We will constantly be promoting their content, their podcast moving forward, and their content and anything else that they want to do. I believe in this. I'm sure my co-hosts believe in this. And again, want to thank Ryan Day and Jeff Muller for joining us here this evening.
Thanks a lot for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Give us a tweet, give us a shout out. We're both more than happy to help any of you.
Awesome. Okay, guys, until next time, take care.
You can find Blair on Twitter at Blair Beveridge, Webisode Watch, and WhoPod. His Twitch channel is twitch.tv/BlairBeveridge, where he streams Friday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also find him on YouTube. Just search his name. That's him. Finally, you can catch him playing the Goblin Shaman in the web series Basic Adventuring 101, which can be found on basicadventuring101.com. You can find Joey on Twitter at JoeyCouture_, because someone already stole it, on YouTube as Joey Couture, and you can also find him on Etsy, Joey Couture Geek Chic. You can find Tyrilin at TizThunder on Twitter, Tyrilin Puxty on YouTube, Tyrilin Puxty on Facebook, and I'm pretty much floating around everywhere. TYROLINPUXTY. Thanks for listening, guys. See you next time.